Part two, I spoke last week in the pursuit of God's presence. And I used an illustration that Bill Hybels uses of how full is our bucket. The bucket representing our bodies are full of the God's Spirit, are full of God's presence. I spoke about the glory of God and how the glory of God no longer lives in temples built by the hand of man, but in people made in God's image. He dwells inside of us through his Holy Spirit. Vessels made in the image of God, and that is you and I, my friend, if you have placed your trust in the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And I spoke about the dangers of running on empty. So, how full is your bucket? Are we low? Are we empty? Are we out of gas? Are we half full? Are we full and overflowing, living in the power and presence of God and what is available to us through the Holy Spirit? And what are the dangers of running on empty in this stress-filled, calendar-full, schedule-full lives and ministries that we live and work? What does it look like on a daily basis? What are we pouring out? We can't pour out what we haven't received. That's it. And if we're pouring out on empty and half full, we're actually on our way to burnout. And when we're pouring out of empty, we're not giving anything. We're not giving anything of the Lord, of his Spirit, of his presence. We're having a form of godliness, but we're denying its power. And it's stressful, and it's difficult, and it's hard. Do we know how to say no? That's something that we have to learn. Do we bite off more than we can chew? We have God-given limitations. And knowing our limitations is a good and healthy thing. And it's up to us to maintain our bucket. It's up to us to fill that with good things, with God's presence, with meaningful things. And how are we doing at that? What is your prayer life like? What is your quiet time like? Do you have God on your calendar? How is that discipline doing in your own experience, in my experience? I was very challenged with this particular sermon, as every day this week I took time out, specific length of time, to bask in God's presence. And I really came quickly and realized how difficult it was to be comfortable in our own solitude. Paul describes this journey of ours, this pilgrimage, as a marathon, as a run, but not a sprint. It is a marathon. It's long distance. And we need to pace ourselves. And we need to know our limitations, our healthy limitations. For me, learning to say no is a discipline that I've had to learn. And I'm sure the older you are, the more experience you may have in that. But that is something that's very important, that we know our own limitations. And God rested. God didn't need to rest, but he did rest on the seventh day. And it's good that we rest. It is very important. And I spoke about last week how that may look like, that we enter his rest, into that place, into that quiet place, wherever that may be, and that we relinquish We have nothing to bring to the table, friends. We're sinners saved by grace. We are children of God, sons and daughters. And we can enter boldly with confidence into God's presence. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, 24/7. Now in the UK, Queen Elizabeth II, on a yearly basis, gives out honours. Member of the British Empire. Various gifts and accolades. And if one day I was ever so called to that, I wonder how prepared I would be. How much time I would be prepared and get myself ready and dressed up. In the US, the presidents give out various medals and various recognitions. And embassies throughout the world. How much time and effort would we to enter into that? To the monarch of the United Kingdom, to the president of the United States, to diplomats. But we seem to put God in our pocket with our car keys and forget about it. But we have access to the living God, the creator of the universe, 24/7. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But that familiarity can breed contempt, and we take it for granted. And I'm sure we're all guilty of doing that, because I certainly am. We come to that place where we recognize we bring nothing to the table in God's presence, but we're accepted as sons and daughters, where we can relinquish our cares and our worries and cast them onto the Lord. And once we do that, we're in a place to receive and then release. And this is the cycle of our life in Christ Jesus. This is what I spoke about last week. But this week, I want to speak about that rest. It's true, we entered God's rest when we placed our trust in Jesus Christ. The power of guilt was broken when we received forgiveness for our sins. But that's not the rest I want to talk about in this context. I want to talk about entering a time of solitude to seek and pursue God. And this practice is difficult. It sounds really easy to enter into God's presence, but in reality, it's not that easy. Because filling our buckets takes intentionality on our part, and it takes a lot of effort. We are responsible to fill our buckets. We are responsible to enter into our fellowship and quiet time with the Lord. But filling that bucket isn't that easy. There's many battles take place. And preparation of this sermon this week has been a battle. It really has been a battle. Even this morning, it's been a battle. We had lots of problems this morning. This is the third lot of speakers we're on. We fried the amplifiers, the preamps in our previous speakers. We had so much technical difficulties. Arnoud came and helped and lent a hand. And it was just one of those things. Spiritual warfare. We seemed to use some old cables, and they must have been broken, and they shorted and fried the speakers. And this is a type of spiritual battle that takes place. But another type of spiritual battle takes place when we choose to enter in, and that is here. I suddenly remember the 1,000 things that I need to do that didn't seem that important a moment ago, but soon, as I'm intentional about being solitude and taking time out to seek God, all these things come in my mind. Take a notepad and paper and write them thoughts as we enter into discipline, into the discipline of our own solitude. Are you comfortable there? in this world of distractions and iPhones and iPads and Androids and email and text and Viber and WhatsApp. In this world of noise, pollution, I'm not talking about air pollution, I'm talking about noise pollution. To seek that still, quiet voice of the living God takes spiritual discipline. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Throughout Scripture, we hear about this. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus was always in touch with his Father. On one of those days, Jesus went to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. This was just before he anointed the disciples. So just before any major thing, we have this big thing as Jesus Christ anointed the disciples and sent them in the power of the Spirit. He spent all night praying. But we easily dismiss it and think, oh, but he was fully God. When was the last time you prayed all night? I can't remember. I've done it, but it's a lot of years ago. A lot of years ago. I haven't done it recently. But we have an example here. When there's big things going on, important decisions to be made, Jesus spent all the night talking to the Father about it. That's an example for us. A relationship of intimacy. To enter into the presence requires a commitment, a daily spiritual discipline. And we start out with that decision to do it. And if we haven't got it in our calendars, friends, change your calendars. Change your calendars. Because everything changes when we start the day and end the day in the presence of the Father. We change. We change. I change. The spiritual life is a gift, and it's a gift of the Holy Spirit who lifts us up into the kingdom of God's love. But to say that being lifted up into the kingdom of love is a divine gift, and so it is, it does not mean that we wait passively and we stand by. We have to choose to enter in. We have a part to play. We're not a rolling stone. We're not a passenger, friends. We're co-laborers with Christ. God's got a plan and his purpose for his life. Do you know what it is? Have you asked him about it? Jesus tells us to set our hearts upon the kingdom. Setting our hearts upon something is a serious application. It's a decision that we have to make. And it requires a human effort, a discipline. How's your stress? How's your worry? Are you worried? I'm a worrier, friends. I don't know where it comes from. I really don't know where it comes from. But if I don't spend time with God, I get stressed out about so many little things. It's no big thing that gets me. I've dealt with the big things, hopefully. Thank God. Through his grace and mercy and his love and his blood. But it's the little things. The little foxes, says in Song of Songs, that steal the fruit before they're fully ripe. Loads of little things. Like that PowerPoint. Like the slides. Just another little pain in the neck, you know. The speaker's blowing. Crank, crank. All these little things. And then all of a sudden, Just one guy will cut you off in traffic and boom, explode, red mist. Am I the only one? Anybody that drives in Skopje always gets up with that one. But by coming into God's presence, by casting our cares and worries upon Him, by handing this over to the Lord. And that starts with a time and a place, or a time and a space, that we're intentional about that. That I'm going to go to that quiet place. I'm going to unplug the computer. I'm going to turn off the tablet. I'm going to put my phone on silent and non-vibrate. I'm not going to be interrupted. Because as soon as you make that decision, you guarantee, bing, 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 ring, ring. Yes. It all happens. It starts with intentionality that we choose to enter. And we plan that time like we would any other meeting, like anything else, that we're intentional about this serious business about fellowshipping with our Father, about speaking to God. This isn't four steps, friend. This is a relationship with Dad, who loves you, who's pleased with you, who longs to hear about your life, wants to hear about your cares, your worries, that stuff that's stressing you out, that's causing you lack of sleep, that's poking you in the ribs. Dad wants to hear about it. What is it? Do we feel some manly thing to carry that? This part of me thinks that I should shoulder that stuff. I'm a man. Stand up. Straighten your feeble knees and carry it. But God says, give it to me. Come, get away with me. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. It's wonderful. But soon as we choose to enter in, this is where we encounter the spiritual warfare. And it's here, friends. This is where the warfare begins. So that preparation, that intention, that intentionality about doing this, you've got to take that serious. This is a serious business. And it's for our benefit. But Dad's jealous. And he doesn't want to share you. He wants to spend time with you. Henry Nouwen's in his book called Making All Things New. A spiritual life requires discipline because we need to learn to listen to God, who constantly speaks, but whom we seldomly hear. Oof. In that book, he gives a picture of a distracted mind, of the would-be prayer as a house. Imagine yourself as a house. These vessels now, imagine that we're a house. And he says there's 12 people pounding on that door. And he said that's what the distracted mind looks like as we choose to enter this solitude. At first, many distractions keep presenting themselves, but later and later, as they recede and we pay less attention to them, they slowly withdraw. And over a time that we enter into this discipline, we hear them less. And these are habits that I learn to fashion. I'm not there yet, friends. I thought I was before I did all this preparation. But when I was intentional about spending periods of time, I was amazed at the clutter in my brain. Do you have a drawer at home where you just simply open and dump all the stuff in and close it? Come on. Everybody's got one of them, right? A cupboard where you just throw stuff when people are coming, a quick tidy up. Close that door. My mind was like that, friends. Just full of clutter and garbage and things that were not that important. Not bad things, but be intentional about prioritizing. We need to have a spiritual discipline. Discipline and the disciple of the child of God requires discipline. Our minds can become like that drawer. And also another thing, I found myself on more than one occasion doing something else. I'd gone to the quiet place, I closed the door, I turned my phone off, I unplugged the laptop, and then 5 minutes later I was doing something else in another room. What's going on? There's so much stuff in that drawer. So much clutter. And I wasn't as disciplined as I thought I was. Maybe it's just me. We will be tempted to run away. Trust me, friends. When we choose to do this, that inner chaos of our minds, that's where the battle takes place. And we've got to bring that from chaos to order. And we can do that through prayer, through discipline, by yielding to the Lord and asking Him for help. When we learn to listen, when we learn to be obedient, the Greek word for obedience is actually means listen. Isn't that funny? Spiritual discipline is necessary to move from a chaotic life to a life of order. And I'm not saying we can do this in 1 week, but we can choose to start. And some of you might be a lot further on than I am. Well, God bless you. And some of you might be in the same place as me, thinking how disciplined I was, but very surprised of how undisciplined I really was. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of order and peace and a sound mind. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. There's many applications we could use for that scripture. But when I recognize the spiritual battle taking place, I claim this scripture. Come near to God, and he'll come near to you. And I think we put things down to the devil of serious temptations. And often, it just has us chasing our tails, running around, doing stuff that is not bad, getting busy with stuff. But how important is it? How essential is it? How necessary is it? Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. So we go from this process of not hearing to hearing more clearly, to listening, from chaos to order. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Doesn't say my lambs hear my voice. My sheep. Do we know Dad's voice? Can we know it more? Anybody remember these old things? Many years ago, before you put in a digital number on your FM receiver, you used to have to dial it in. You used to have to tune that radio in, friends. Well, you may be too young to remember these, but I'm certainly not. And sometimes it takes a lot of fine tuning to get that right radio station. And that comes with practice, friends, especially on AM. Anybody used to listen to AM? Oh, it took a little turn of that dial to get that signal just right. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Friends, I'm not telling you something new. A lot of you have known the Lord for a long time. I'm not giving you a formula. I'm just trying to encourage you to maintain and enter into that relationship and not get caught up with this life of busyness, of stress and worry and anxiety, when we can spend time with our Father and things change because we change. Fashioning a healthy habit. Don't be anxious about anything. Oof. Really? Don't be anxious about some things. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'd like to give you a little challenge, friends. Starting tomorrow, I would like you to get up half an hour earlier. Set your alarm half an hour earlier and spend 30 minutes with the Lord. If you're already doing this and more, God bless you. And my prayer is that you could hear His voice more clearly and your heart could hold more. But if you're like me, set that alarm, 30 minutes, starting tomorrow, and see where you are. Take a pad and paper. As soon as you try, you'll realize there's 100 things you need to do. And write them down. Spend time in solitude with yourself. Are we comfortable with that? Ourselves, and enter in with Dad. Come back next week and tell me all about it. One thing I will know, you will have a battle, but persevere, because we need to hear from Dad, and He longs to spend time with you. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have access to enter with boldness and confidence and call Him Daddy. And if you're already there and beyond that, come alongside somebody that may not be quite there yet and help them along in the process. God bless you.